It's 100 years since the sinking of the Titanic, almost to the day, and I'm sitting in the bath wearing a life jacket. My teeth are clenched and my eyes scrunched closed. Just then, Celine Dion comes on the radio and I think, hang on a sec, do I really want to live? Fortunately, this is not a real life or death scenario. Otherwise, the Celine Dion versus death thing would have been too close to call. I'm actually conducting a laboratory controlled experiment in my bathroom, and the state it's in gives an authentic feel of the carnage aboard the Titanic's third class accommodation as the great liner's stern pointed skyward. Less authentic is the temperature of the water. I've left out the ice cubes. On the other hand, I have got a Thunderbird 4 on standby, a loofah to represent an upturned lifeboat, and a Captain Pugwash action figure to represent Captain Edward J. Smith, an inaction figure by some accounts. What's prompted this, apart from the Titanic, is something I read in a recent PBO. It was one of those so-called learning from experience features, where your so-called best mate stitches you up and reveals in graphic detail how things went so badly wrong that Dick Everett does a painting of your boat. Over the years, I've grown immeasurable respect for the lengths people go to get a coveted Everett original. This particular episode involved a Rustler 36, a dodgy engine, a place called Whitby, lots of wind and a limp life jacket. For some reason, this made me think of my great mate Julian, who owns a Rustler 36 and recently sailed to Whitby in a summer gale just after he'd had his engine serviced. However, that must have been pure coincidence, because when I bumped into him a few weeks later in a chandlery, where he was becoming mildly irritated that the assistant had never heard of Acme life jacket glue, in brackets, not for use in water, he described his trip as entirely routine, an unusual term, I thought, for a summer holiday. Still, it got me thinking about life jackets. One of the first things I learned in my early crewing days is that most skippers treat life jackets like family heirlooms. The older they are, the prouder they are of them. It's almost like having your own coat of arms. But that all changes when they actually need one. Then the skipper will shout, "Get me the one with Noah on it. It's newer. You can have the one that says Ramesses II." That just shows a poor grasp of history. I once saw a life jacket with Cleopatra on the name tag, and when we inflated it, it started to hiss. It must have been an asp. On another passage, my spirit soared when I thought I'd found a relatively modern life jacket from the Ark Royal. I thought the Royal had either faded or fallen off, but it turns out it had never been there in the first place. These are some of the reasons I soon bought my own life jacket, which for about 5 years looked so new it was downright embarrassing. Now, though, it looks proper nautical. And, on a whim, at the beginning of the season, I decided to inspect it and found it had become an heirloom. The expiry date on the charging capsule was 2011, which according to some quick sums meant I'd sail blithely through 2012 straight past my sell-by date, or should that be Selby date? Anyway, that set me upon an odyssey that was truly Homeric in the Simpson sense, as I quizzed some of the sharpest brains in the chandleries up and down the land about a replacement capsule. Trouble was, there were two types of capsule, moulded and shrouded. But it seems both were shrouded in mystery. Neither looked like my old one. To complicate matters further, there was a product note about certain capsules only being suitable for life jackets with certain serial numbers. Even though my serial number didn't match, I was told it would be fine. In other cases, when I showed assistants the difference between my old capsule and the new ones, one said it would probably work, and another went so far as it should be fine. But call me pushy, but I was looking for something slightly more than a vague assurance that I probably might not die. In the end, I got sorted out by a really helpful guy in a Suffolk Marine Safety Service Centre. And that's how come I'm in my bath, wearing a life jacket, primed with my 2011 out-of-date cartridge. My teeth are clenched, my eyes scrunched closed, and Thunderbird 4s floating past. For extra tension, I've queued up the CD with My Heart Will Go On. But will it? That's what I'm here to find out. In an instant, there's a whoosh as my life jacket pops open and fills. It's not as violent as I'd anticipated. I'd expected an explosion along the lines of a bilge-aged, date-expired steak and kidney pud. Even though the life jacket inflated to the size of a fairground bouncy castle, I still couldn't help feeling a little deflated, or less than buoyant. On the one hand, the cartridge had turned out to be fine. On the other hand, I've now paid for a replacement with real money. The death versus spending money at a Chandlery payoff shows I'm beginning to think like proper skippers who are convinced sell-by dates are just marketing. But there was another thought. My bathroom's small, but bigger than the cabin of my sailfish. If my life jacket went off with me inside, I'd end up wearing my sailfish like a terrapin encased in a crazed pale blue fiberglass shell. That would definitely call for Thunderbird 4. And if they didn't turn up, I'd do what I do in most emergencies. Call girlfriend Jules to come and get me. It's always good to have backup. Now, you may have heard some unusual background noises in this broadcast, and that's because it comes to you from Broomfield Hospital in Chelmsford. And it was only made possible by the kindness and cooperation of the wonderful staff in the Medical High Dependency Unit, who kept me in touch with the world and are getting me back on my feet. Speak to you soon. Bye.